God put on flesh and came. There's something he's up to. There's something he wants to redeem and restore. There's something he sees and knows and understands that would give him the inspiration that he would value so much that he would come as a man. Don't get religious with this thing. Don't be brought up in church your whole life and just hear Jesus died on the cross for your sin and miss the whole point. Like God became flesh. He didn't just show up in the wilderness either, just 30 years old and ready and trained for ministry. He came through the womb of a woman and was born as a man. Like he was inside, God was inside a woman, in her body as a man. Ah! Come on, get real with me. He came through her birth canal. He was messy. He was dependent on her. She had to change his little swaddling clothes. They weren't Pampers with tape. It just amazes me that he came. And if all we do is make the gospel that he came so you can go to heaven someday, we are missing terribly the reason that he came. He didn't come so you can go to heaven someday. He came so heaven could come back inside of you, and he wants you to go preach with your life saying, the kingdom of God is here. He wants you to put off the old man, his ways, his thinking, his motive, his attitude. Put off the old man and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge in agreement with the image of the very one who created us. Christianity, we preached it last night, is all about your transformation. It's not about your blessing, guys. Yes, God's a blesser. It's in his nature. Psalm 67, can't get away from it. Our God, yes, our own God shall bless us. I get it. You don't strive for blessing. You don't tape faith scriptures all over your fridge praying for a better day. You want to live a transformed day. What's it matter if all your ducks are in a row and you live frustrated and angry and proud? What is it if all your ducks are in a row and you live up and down and your disposition isn't solid? What's the big deal if all our needs are met and we don't have a solid, rock-solid foundation in life that keeps us steady in the eyes of men? The goal is not getting your needs met. The goal is becoming like him. Paul said, there's times I don't have enough. But in these things, I'm the same. And I'm content in any situation I'm in. Why? Because the truth hasn't changed. Why he's here and why God is in him hasn't changed. If there's not bread on the table, the truth of who you are hasn't changed. If a loved one does something off the wall, the truth about Christ in you hasn't changed. You're here to shine. You're always called to shine. That'll never change. You don't let the things against you change the one that's inside of you. You don't let what you're going through dictate how you're doing. What he went through settles it. He went through what he went through to accomplish something in you and through you so you live from a different eye than you ever lived before. He wants you renewed in the spirit of your mind. He doesn't want you conformed to the world but transformed by thinking like you never thought before. Come on, it's exciting to me. That sure just beats praying for needs to be met and paying homage to God and blessing our food. It's walking in love and living by the Spirit and seeing the value of men through the truth of the cross. And whether they see it or not, forgive them, Father, they know not what they're doing. But if you be lifted up in me, all men will gather to you. That's our part. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Wonder if he wants to be lifted up through us in the eyes of men. Wonder if we really are the body of Christ. That's not a religious term. We're the embodiment of Christ. And Paul said the mystery revealed and the thing that he preaches tirelessly with ample grace is that Christ be formed in us and that Christ in you, the hope of glory, would be revealed to all the Gentiles. So what's the hope of glory? The Christ in you. Not you getting the promotion. I hope you get the promotion. I really do. But if you don't get the promotion, do you still shine? Is your attitude amazing? And do you walk in love and manifest Jesus? Yeah. Come on. Come on, don't you get tricked into making this all about you. And just you having a better day, please. I taught this stuff strong last night. I'm not going to go here too heavy this morning. Don't you get tricked into letting the gospel serve you when the gospel's here to transform you. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. I just couldn't agree more with that word that sister brought. She said, you older saints, don't you lose heart. Don't you, man, it's coming. Keep praying, believing. Listen, you run well, you finish well. You know what? Even if our eyes don't see what we believed our whole life, wonder if you invested your whole life praying something into a generation. And even if your eyes don't see it, and I'm not saying this where I believe it is coming, but what I'm saying is you sowed into it and you spend your life praying for something, and a generation could entertain that and steward that and be blessed by it because you didn't grow weary in well-doing and you prayed something through with other people. Why do we always have to taste it? Why don't you lay down your life and believe for more in the next generation? Why don't you give and serve and live tirelessly so that young people and folks coming in would have a greater understanding, a greater revelation? It's not always about a payback now. Don't you ever let go of the value of your city. Don't you ever let go of the value of the people around you. You continue to pray and you don't get trapped saying, well, people don't want to change. Well, people don't want, well, this area is like, well, this is the culture we live. Well, this, no, stop. Faith doesn't even understand what you're saying. Common knowledge does, human reasoning, fleshy discouragement. Yeah, understands the language. But don't sell cheap because you're not for sale. You're bought with a price and you're not your own. Yeah? Man, that was good. You feel that? I did that with a smile. We do surgery with a smile in the kingdom of God. We take out your heart. We trim it. We shape it. We put it back in. Sew you up. You leave and you don't even know you were cut. It's awesome. A sister came up to me this morning back there. She was sitting right there yesterday. I can't see her now. I don't know. It's a glare. But she was sitting right there where you were, and she was like this the whole time. It was sweet. I saw her. She came in this morning. She said, you really got us thinking last night. You really made us think. She said, I realized how self-centered I was in so many ways. And she said, last night I turned my heart and I gave my heart back to him. I gave my life back to him. And I went, whoa. She said, this morning I saw a guy hurting and we stopped and I went and prayed for him and encouraged him. And he said, it ain't going to help. And I said, oh no. And I prayed and we prayed. And I see she sowed. She took that word last night. She went and sowed into a life. Yeah? That sure beats just thinking about how you feel, how the day is going to be, your schedule, and I hope, and maybe, and well, and please God, and yeah, and Shabbat. Come on. Just making it all about you, and then we come and sing it's all about him. And then we're only as good as things are going, instead of who he is inside of us. The just shall live by. And faith, it doesn't have anything to do with a feeling. You continue to live in faith, it'll override the feelings that we've become used to. We live by so many feelings and don't even realize. We let our feelings rule how we're doing. We think if we're not feeling good, we're not doing good. No, if you're not believing good, you're not doing good. Belief will overtake your feelings and realign your feelings back into a healthy place because they've been misconstrued. We were born into Adam. We must be born again. It's time to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. And I'm telling you, your emotional makeup, your feelings, and your responses to things will change as you continue to live in faith and let truth be the dominating factor. It's truth that makes you free. You don't pray to feel better. You pursue to believe better. And if you see clear, you'll be clear. You don't just ask somebody to pray for you because your feelings are... No, you find truth on that thing. And you declare, you say, well, I just don't feel worthy. Would you pray that I feel worthy? People think that's an altar call prayer. That is, you could pray the rest of your life for somebody to feel worthy. You're being deceived. You're not, it's not about feeling worthy. It's about knowing you're worthy because God sent his son and died and he's the lamb that took away the sin of the world while you were yet a sinner. So what's your response? Get alone with God and say, thank you that you made me worthy. Thank you that you saw a value in my life that I never understood. You created me for something. You made me for something. And this thing is on because I yield myself back to you. Thanks for coming into me, obtaining me, changing me. I am yours. Why is that hard? Faith says that's not hard. Yeah, but you don't know where I've been, brother. You don't know what. He came while you were yet a sinner. He knew it before you did it. Yeah, but I messed up afterward. He already knew that before he came. And he came anyway. Man, I saw him heal people on the streets. They're so shocked they curse when they get healed. Now, I'm not saying that's cool, but it's all they know. And it's amazing how it doesn't upset God and run him out. It's amazing how you can't sneak up on him and catch him off guard. You pray for him and they go, what the blank? And it's amazing. The Father grabbed Jesus, muffle his ears, cover his eyes. I prayed for this guy. I parked the car. He had a torn ACL. He's coming down the street. He's a built guy. He's walking. I said, what'd you do to your knee, man? You're really hurting. Ah, ACL. I said, what's up with that? He said, yeah, man. And they want to do a surgery. I said, is that where they take a tendon, a tissue, they replace? Yeah, they want to do that surgery. I'm just putting it off. I'm just hoping it goes away. I don't want to go through surgery, man. They said it'll never heal itself. And I said, listen, man, I want to do something, okay? Listen, just hold still, man. Don't freak out. Just hold still. I want to do something. All right? He said, okay. I knelt down. I prayed for his knee. I didn't tell him what I was doing. He's like, you know, first thing to do is look around. Who's watching? Man, why did I let this guy do this? What? I stood up and I said, thanks, man. I know I kind of snuck up on you there. He said, well, thanks, man. Wow, that was thoughtful. And I said, look, man, it's not about thoughtful. It's about Jesus. And walk for me. And be real. Check your knee because walk. You could barely walk. You just walk. He turns. He goes, what? What the blank? I said, whoa, dude. Listen. He says, you got to be blank and kidding me. Now, here's what didn't happen. He goes, what the blank? Didn't happen. He stayed okay when he blanked. Did God know he was going to swear, or was he shocked or caught off guard? Is he omniscient? Did he already know it was coming? So his love must be a little deeper than we tend to be on the surface. Listen to his language, and God just healed him, and he's cursing and swearing. He's such an offense to God. No, he's an offense to you, and unfortunately, our lack of understanding. It's all he knows. He doesn't have a revelation of God. Why are you holding him to that? And while he was yet a sinner, God knew that. And while God was seeing him stuck in sin, he sent his son anyway. He didn't ask him to change a bit. It says you and me were enemies to God by the wicked way our minds worked. And yet now he's reconciled us through the death of Jesus Christ and through the body of his death. He reconciled us to present us, it's Colossians 1, holy, blameless, and above reproach. In his sight, if indeed you continue to believe it and live in faith and don't let anything change your mind. See where feelings creep in? Well, I just feel so bad. Well, I don't know. I just don't know how. Well, I just think. No, stop, stop, stop. Slow down. Do yourself a big favor. He sent his son while you were alienated and thinking wicked ways. That just means self-centered and anti-kingdom. Thinking for you instead of his image. Thinking for you instead of others. Thinking for you instead of his kingdom. While you were living that way, he sent his son and paid the price to wash you clean and stand you before him, holy, blameless, and above reproach. In his sight, if you continue believing and aren't moved away from the hope in which you heard. Some of us haven't heard this hope. You gave me a mic. You're going to hear it. You're from all over. I don't know where you're at. It's no reflection on leadership here. They're probably preaching this stuff. I don't know them well. What I'm saying is some of us, I've learned, haven't heard this hope. We still live in the feelings of our own lives, works, religion, rules, condemnation, guilt, shame, very viable in people's agreement in life. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are never even an option. They're never, ever, ever used by God, ever. Like guilt, condemnation, shame come natural and normal. That tells you it's perverted. That's what we were born into. Time to get born again. Come out of darkness. Guilt, what's guilt? Guilt is a subconscious belief and confession that you're not forgiven. You're guilty. You're not forgiven. Condemnation, my life is worthy to be judged. Shame, it's still me. It's who I am. All three anti-finished works of Christ. And they crush the believer that has a sincere heart. Never, ever, ever, God. I'll tell you what we preached last night. We preached that the whole reason God sent his son is so you and me can become love. And if we miss becoming love, honestly, I said this. This is how narrow I preached. If we miss becoming love, we've missed the whole point of why he came. He didn't come to protect you. He didn't come to make sure your family's well. He didn't come to make sure you go to heaven. He came to put who he is inside of you so who he is can shine through you. It's the reason he came. Anybody can pray a prayer for eternal security. Who's ready to die to themselves and live to the kingdom and others? Who's ready to make peace and show mercy and love? Who's ready to give a drink to their enemy and pray for those who persecute and give to those who spitefully use? I think that's called offense, leaving your church and never talking to them again. I think we get it backwards. I think we're trying to get God for a blessing and failing to become like God if we're not careful because we haven't been taught these things like we could. And I'm not saying you're not living this way. I'm just speaking body of Christ. So what am I doing? Help and protect. Make sure you never fall into these traps. And if you are living this way, please just bail out now. Say, whoa, warning. See, you can tell if you're thinking clear if the way you're thinking is producing life. If you're just dull, if you're just grayed out, if you're just trying to hang in there and survive, you don't have a healthy mentality in Christ. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. If you're just getting through, you're missing the point. You're trying to survive. You're using the gospel to get through, and it's a survival kit instead of a transformation. Is this okay, or is this too intense? Are you guys not getting hurt by this, are you? No, are you okay? Because you guys are amazing. You just sit like this. Everybody just sitting like this. And I'm just hoping you're okay. Because I'm looking, and that's everybody. I'm just looking. You're laughing, chicken. You were doing that, man. Dude, you were like... And it was there, and I glanced when I saw you. I looked in the, and I just saw that same exact face, and I thought, I guess you're okay. So see, this is a little anesthesia shot right now. You just, And I've got your heart on the table. It's being trimmed and cleaned, trusted in the hand of God and the grace of my life. We're going to get it back in your chest, sew you up. You won't even know you were circumcised. Whoa. And you're going to leave and feel different and changed. That's why we just laughed a little bit there. Listen, here's the cool thing about the world of love. It's the world God lives in. See, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we use that for healing all the time because it makes sense. No cancer in heaven, no cancer on the earth. It gives its fire, power of faith to pursue and believe something. And I agree with that. That's good. But why? Why is it always for miracles that your will be done on earth? Why is it always about the power of God? Wonder if it's more about the heart of God. Because wonder if all the power of God flows through the heart of God and through who he is. Wonder if you can move in extreme gifting and if you don't have love, you have a big zero. Wonder if you let your identity wrap around how God uses you instead of who you've become. Wonder if you become a prophet and you read mail. Instead of you become love. Wonder if you're just a ministry gift and that's where you find your identity. Then you're only as good as God's using you in the moment. And you always feel like you have to produce or perform. It's not healthy. You find your identity in pastoring. If the church isn't seeming well, you're certainly not well. Because it's a reflection of you. No, you live out of sonship. You live out of knowing him. You live upright. You live in him. You stay encouraged because you're sowing seed. Wonder if people don't want to hear what you say. It doesn't mean you're saying anything wrong all the time. Just because somebody rejects you on the street and says, no, thank you, it doesn't mean you have to groom your approach. It might just be a reflection of where they're at. We tend to be very self-conscious. And it reveals to me we could walk closer to Jesus and be more Christ-conscious. Christ in me is what I mean by that. Yeah? Yay. I'm coming over here. I'm talking to them. You guys are serious over here. No, I'm going to come over here for them. Visit you guys. I'm coming. No, look at it. No, I'll just hang out over here. I realize I've just been camping there. I don't want them to think I'm talking to them. No, I'm just having fun. I love you guys. See you in a little. I don't know about you, but my whole life growing up, all I ever heard was Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. And I better pray this prayer because he's coming someday. And I better pray the prayer because I want to be on his list. And you better make sure you stay in church because you don't want to not be in church when he comes. I don't know about you, but that's what I grew up hearing my whole life. So by the time I was 20, I had more questions than answers. I couldn't even understand why he would love me so much, why he would die for me, why he would care so much for me, because I knew me more than anybody knew me. I knew the things that were going on in my heart. I know the things I was doing when you weren't looking. And I'm thinking, and then people would say, well, that's why he died, because you live that way, because you're like that. So it just kept me a sinner anyway. So he died because I'm a sinner. He died because I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness so I can have a passport to get into heaven when the day comes. That is a very weak and sad gospel. Because it leaves me the same, and now I have a passport. I have a boarding pass, but I don't have a changed life. I'm non-productive. There's nothing to reproduce but me. And I'm just forgiven, I guess. What a sad gospel. It's just self-serving. Why'd we make it that way? Because it serves us. And the selfish nature and tendency of the fallen man turned the gospel into something to benefit me instead of transform me. Come on, he said, walk in the light as he's in the light. It says, if you abide in him, 1 John 2, you ought to walk even as he walked. He's firstborn among many, brethren. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. As the Father sent me, I send you. They're all scriptures. Yay. That doesn't sound like I'm waiting to use my boarding pass. Listen, the days of frustration with each other and mad and letting other people decide who you are has to end in the body of Christ. We got to get strong and say, wait a minute, I'm done being dictated by who people are, what they're saying, and how they're treating me. Irrelevant. I'm not going to let what one man said trump what one said. I'm not going to let what one man did trump what one did. I'm not going to let my heart get hard. I'm done letting my heart get hard. I'm going to let this gospel saturate me, change me, and I'm going to live from a new position in life. I'm going to let the gospel change my reason for being, and I'm going to wake up to shine. And nobody owes me a thing, not even my family or my spouse. I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to pray to him when I'm overwhelmed, and I'm not just going to sing to him during corporate worship. I'm going to follow him. Come on. That's a believer. Look, you can have an attitude if you want. That's your business. And Jesus still loves you, but you're not receiving the love. See, what good does it do for me to walk down the line and say, Matt, he loves you. Hey, honey, he loves you. He loves you, girls. Hey, man, he loves you. Loves you, girl. Loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. Come on, I could do it all day and be totally right. But there's a difference between God loving you and you being loved by God. Yeah? Big difference between me trying to convince you and prove to you scripturally that he loves you and you being loved by God. Because you being loved by God is positioning yourself to receive what he paid for, become what he paid for, and next thing you know, you become the very thing, love. The goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. The whole reason we do what we do is so we're perfected in love. And we put on love. It's the bond of perfection. It's above all. You put on love. If we miss that, guys, we've done a whole pile of church without becoming her. And we've allowed knowing him to be replaced by doing him. Are you guys with me? Don't let that happen in your life. Look, I'm just a voice shouting out. I'm going to get on a plane when I leave here. Life's going to be fun. Continue to go the way it's going. You don't owe me a thing. But they gave me a mic, invited me, and you some for some reason came. And I'm just telling you, you're worth this to him. And it's been paid for. And you ought to jump in and run well and never let some other factor decide who you are if he's Lord. If he's really Lord, which means supreme, governing factor, ruling, supremacy, the ruling being, the supreme being, the governing factor, the ruling force. If he's really Lord, then why does anything else tell you who you are and how you're doing? Why do we say, well, I would be in a better place if it wasn't for, well, I'm just waiting for God to change, and if it wasn't for this and this, I'd be doing a whole... Stop! If you have a grid for that, something else will get in the way. When is he Lord? Do you really think we're going to go before God someday and look into his fiery, liquidy eyes of love? Whatever it's going to be like, it's going to be overwhelming, and we'll be amazed at the revelation of God, right? So how do you even know? But just for fun, do you think you're going to look into his eyes and go, oh, because he's light? Like, there'll be no deception there. Like, you won't be able to be tricked. You won't have wrong thinking. When you're looking into the light and glory of who he is in the very essence of truth, you're going to go, oh, and you're going to see and you're going to know in a millisecond. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to be no darkness. There's not going to be no yeah buts allowed to survive. They will be blown away by the glory and light magnificence of who he is. Do you think in that moment you're going to be able to go, oh, you know, I would have believed in you more. I would have, if it wasn't for my spouse. See, if that sounds foolish now, don't let it work now. If you know that's foolish then, don't let it make sense now. Do you think you're going to be able to go, oh, what? Oh, but Lord, why didn't you just give me that new job? You knew how hard it was for me. Why didn't you answer some of my, God, I would have done better if you had just answered some of those prayers. Hello? Do you think that's going to be a legitimate language exchange? Then don't let it matter now. It's called living by faith. It's called living by faith. Pushing aside all the feelings that are contrary to truth. All the feelings we've all been trained by and trained well. Come on, let's stop calling it normal the way we've been. And stop thinking it's just the way we are. It's amazing he loves us. See, because that's an excuse to stay the same. That's deception. Tomorrow's always yesterday. You take away the runway, the plan can't land. It'll circle. You'll hear it, but it'll run out of gas and crash and be no more. There's a lot of planes in our life that need to crash. And I'm not talking physical planes. I'm talking mindsets, thoughts, and beliefs. People say, well, brother, you know how to get real. You got to face reality. I mean, everybody has their moments. What are you doing? You're just positioning yourself for your next moment. You're justifying your next moment when you say that. So you say, well, everybody has their moments. No, 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 stop. That's why you have yours. Because you have a belief position for it. So then when you have your moment, there's no sense of conviction or repentance because it's who we are, you know. So if you don't make the tree good and change the identity of the tree, how's the fruit ever going to change? Oh, I'm on you now. This is good stuff. Are you all right? Got the heart on the table. It's just about back in the chest, man. They're even smiling now. They're not. I see in smiles on that last phrase. That was good. I thought, Lord, this is awesome. They're smiling. Becoming good trees. Come on, be real. Jesus says a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And what do? We hear the word fruit. We become fruit assessors and we inspect our lives and others. And we start deciding who's a good tree and who's not because of fruit. And if you hear that, technically, good tree can't bear bad fruit. You assess your life and there's something you haven't dealt with. There's something that comes to mind. There's even might even be a judgment, a condemnation. It might be a reality. And you go, oh no, I'm not a good tree. Because I got a bad apple hanging here on this branch. Oh! And then Jesus says a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And you go, wait a minute, I'm so confused. Because not everything in my life is a throwaway and basket case. I got this thing I have been in denial. I haven't really dealt with. I've been convicted. I pushed it aside. I've had my heart kind of grow dull a little. But man, there's a lot of change in my life, and I've been moving forward, and I've been able to lay down my life here and there, and I know that everything in my life's not a throwaway. So a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Therefore, you know them by their fruit. I'm confused because I think I have some good and some bad in my life. You see what I'm saying? Well, what's that tell you? We're hearing fruit. He's talking about tree. The tree is the noun in the sentence. The whole time he's talking about the tree. And we hear fruit. And we start assessing fruit and weighing fruit and coming from the angle of fruit. And he says, therefore, make a tree good. And what will happen to the fruit? Fruit will be good. Or make a tree and the fruit's going to be what? What's he saying? Does an apple tree produce an apple to prove it's an apple tree? So an apple tree produces an apple. An apple tree produces an apple because it is an apple tree. This is not rocket science. We can get this. Guys, why's the apple pop out on the branch? Because it's an apple tree. Where'd that start? In the seed? We have this created value. We've been predestined to be adopted as his sons and daughters. He's the seed that died and fell to the ground, sprung up. He's bearing much fruit after his own kind. He's saying, if you tell people who they are in my sight through what they've done and they believe it and live by faith, of course the fruit will be good because they believe who they've become. But if you try to change your life, first of all, you're sincere or you wouldn't be trying to change. But your sincerity is tricking you into condemnation because you feel like you're not doing good enough and you're failing. Because if you could change, he wouldn't have to come. Oh. So people try to do better. What is that? It's a frail attempt of sincerity that leads to ultimate condemnation. So what? You don't try to do better? No, you be better. In other words, be his, be accepted, be received, be worthy, be redeemed, be forgiven, be clean. If you learn to be, you'll always be empowered to do. All you're doing flows out of healthy being. The doing is what tricks us into getting our identity through how God's using us, our ministries, what we're involved in. So we find our identity through our calling instead of our relationship. And then you use church, if you're not careful, as a platform to manifest. I'm telling you, it's why pastors can't even have open mic services sometimes. Because you have to really be a strong leader to have open mic. Because there's people that just want to get up and manifest. They just want people to see what they have in their heart and what they say. And they say, listen, I'm really nervous in front of people. I really didn't want to get up here. I didn't want to. But you know, and they take 3 minutes focusing on themselves and their nerve, and then they manifest their thing. It's not healthy, some of this stuff. Let's be careful with that thing. You be to do, you never do to be. Them singers in the 50s, they had it backwards. They used to sing dooby 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 doo. Bing Crosby or one of them goes dooby 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 doo. No, it's be dooby 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 dooby. Be dooby dooby dooby. Be 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 doo. I'm serious. They got it backwards. It's not do to be. It's be to do. One is your works and your effort, and your frailty, and one is his grace, his power, and his ability. If we don't start where he finished, we'll never run well. When is it time for a Christian to get alone and close the door? And nobody in the world is looking, and you're either out of your mind and need to get a hobby because he's not real, or he is real and he's going to meet you there. I like those odds. I love those odds. What would happen if every Christian would start closing the door when nobody's looking, walk into the bathroom in the morning instead of going, ugh, you need a lot of work today, friend. Or, I don't know why you gave me that nose, God. Or, I don't know what's up with these lips. Stop. What would happen if you'd wake up in the morning and not even get out of your bed? Wow, thank you for another day, Lord. I so appreciate the way you see me. You have nothing but love for me. I feel so empowered by the way you view me. Man, when I was getting it wrong and when I was yet a sinner, you sent your son. If you reconciled me through the death of your son while I was yet a sinner, how much more will you give me life and save me from wrath through his life? I so appreciate being yours. Man, life is a gift. I used to complain. I'm done with it. God, thanks for teaching me and making me wise. Thank you that fretting and strife and frustration is over, God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm never again using you to get through the day. You're in me to shine, and we're going to have a great one. I am so excited to wake up and be yours. Wonder if the just would actually start living by faith instead of, oh man, crazy work schedule today. Wish I wouldn't have woke up and had to pee at 3:30. I'm going to be tired in the morning. God, I don't know how I'm going to get through. And you know the boss has been so cranky. If he's cranky today, God, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And I don't know why the car's been sputtering. I'm almost afraid it's going to cut off in the intersection. So, Lord, you got to touch my car, touch my life, touch my boss. Thank you. And then say, oh, yeah, I prayed today. Help us, Jesus. You did not pray. You were in a self-centered, overwhelmed complaint session that was powerless. And you were more focused on what you had to face than the one in you. And just being honest, it's not prayer. It's deception. Yeah? Well, wonder if I have all those situations going on, Pastor. I'm not supposed to pray about it. Let me show you what it can look like. Father, man, I'm so thankful today. You know, it's 6 o'clock. I don't even feel like getting out of bed, but it's all going to be good. I know I woke up there in the middle of the night, but your grace is greater. And man, the way the boss has been, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's got to be hurting. Something's going on behind the scenes. He's never been this cranky. And I just thank you for working in me because that used to irritate me, but you've given me something new. And God, with all my heart, you search my heart. I ask for compassion on Johnny and mercy from your end, that you would begin to minister to him, his life, his situation, and somehow use me and facilitate my life in his life as a tool to just bring blessing and wisdom. And I just cover him in prayer, God. Man, I thank you that you put new nerves in me and new skin, and he's not on my nerves. He's big in my heart. And I just pray blessing over Johnny and his family, God. And I thank you for the job that I used to complain about, and thank you that it brings provision. And I see it's just a tool, but what a mission field. Man, I'm so glad you're in me, and we can shine. My days of complaining are over. God, your grace is sufficient today. Amen. By then, you forgot you woke up at 3:30. And you're like, ah! And you're just going to work, man. I'm just telling you. Am I messing up or what? Are you okay? Okay. I was thinking, man, I might be messing up. So. How'd she do that? I was watching her earlier trying to figure out what she was doing with all them pages. You got my attention. Let me show you what this is. This creativity, this is stuff she sees. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's in you. You see it as you start going. It gets brighter, clearer, and you just put it on paper. He's the potter, we're the clay. This is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to take the creativity of who he is, the uniqueness of who he made you to be, and he wants to, you're his portrait. You're his, whatever you call this. What do you call that when it's blank?
Canvas.
A canvas. You're his canvas. Yeah? And he wants to paint the truth on you. You put yourself, what I'm talking about, what she's doing right now is what I'm talking about when you're praying in your bed, when you're in a room alone. You're just believing what he says about you and how he sees you. And guess what? Grace comes. You're saved by grace through faith. Grace comes to make your faith your reality. It takes the truth and makes it your experience. And all of a sudden, you actually believe you're worthy. And all of a sudden, nobody can talk you out of it again. And actually, you believe you belong. And you actually believe he loves you and paid an amazing price for you. And your life is really worth living. Yeah? That's what happens. You get alone and you're the canvas. And as you release faith in the truth, grace comes and makes you and molds you and shapes you into what he called you to be. And as you're coming out of that room, it'll grab the tarp and it'll slide off of you. Ta-da! Yeah? And you come out of there looking more like him than when you went in. That's what these gatherings are all about. That's what the gathering of the brethren is all about. So we stir one another in love and good works. That's not control and commandment and duty and obligation and pressure. It's identity and purpose and grace abounding. Yeah? But if we don't think that way, we're going to let life speak louder than truth. And we're going to let things matter more that don't matter most. And we'll be sincerely deceived. I'm not ever talking to rooms of evil people. I'm talking to things that are deceived. It's not about being evil and hypocrites. Are you kidding me? You are not here on a Saturday morning because you're intending to do anything wrong. You are seeking God the best you understand God. And I'm not spanking you or correcting you. I'm telling you who you are. Yeah? I'm telling you, you can live this way because grace says you can. And in all you're getting, get what? Understanding, and we're destroyed for the lack of it. So what I don't know is destroying me. What we grew up with is a lie. What you don't know won't hurt you. Lie from hell. What you don't know is destroying you. Yeah? And what you see, you can become. Yeah. And you're worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. And who pays a high price for nothing? No pastor in my life ever told me that Jesus died to redeem my purpose and potential. And that Jesus died because I was so valuable to him. Everybody told me he died because I was such a mess. He became a lie to get it off of me. God cursed sin in the flesh, so sin has no dominion over me. He was separated from God, so I'm forever joined. He died, I never will. Wow. He must think a lot of us. And you think I believe this, and I'm going to get caught up today with, well, I can't believe they said that. Not today, friend. Tomorrow's not a good day for that either. Well, that really hurt. You keep living that feeling of hurt, it just exposes that you haven't become love. It's a dead giveaway. People say, well, don't pray for patience. God will give it to you. It's a joke in the church. Like, be careful what you pray for. You pray for patience, God will give it to you. The first thing love is patient. So when you're praying for patience, you're saying, I'm not perfected in love. So why don't you just go for love and get it all? Love is patient. Watch, if you're not patient, what's happening? It's all about you, how you feel, what you don't approve of, what you wish would change, and how you feel about it. And it ain't good, and I wish you'd shape up. Because I've had enough of this. You go into your son's room, and you go, ah, Billy, if I told you once, I told you 100 times. Not to ever do, what are you doing? Well, Dad, I just stop it, Billy, just go, man, go. Well, I'm in my room, how can I go to my room? Just go, man, just go. That is not cool. Because all you're doing is telling Billy you're very displeased and found great displeasure and that he's not obedient and he doesn't listen to a thing you say and da-da-da. And in Billy's eyes, it's beginning to be all about you and him pleasing you instead of you loving him. I don't even want the ability to think that way towards Billy. I don't want the ability to be dare frustrated towards my children. Why? Because if I correct them, it's not because they're wrong. It's because they're more than what they're doing. It's not because they irritate me. It's not because they get on my nerves and they're dishonoring me. I don't get my honor from men. 1 John 5 says, John 5, the gospel, says, how can you believe you who receive honor from one another? What he's saying is your need for honor from one another will keep you from believing the truth of becoming love. Because your well-being is dependent on others' actions. So you sit Billy down, you say, oh my goodness, Billy, we've had this talk how many times, buddy? Well, Dad, no, stop. Billy, when you say, well, Dad, you're not even listening. You're already justifying it's going to happen again. Billy, do you think that I feel like I need to be a lord in your life, a controller? Do you think that I, Billy, I'm not one bit frustrated with you. You're so much more than this. There's more responsibility that's in your life that can bloom, and there's more, and you don't have to do this ever again, whatever the topic is. And you begin to teach him that he's more than what he's given himself to, and that's why you're addressing it, because you know a higher truth about his life. And all of a sudden, it's never about dad being mad, frustrated, or yelling at him. Wouldn't that be awesome? Come on, whoever came to God to repent sincerely, and God just sat there. Oh, it's you. Well, look, man, how many times did I convict you? How long did it even take you to get here, bud? I mean, 6 months ago, I gave you the best chance you ever had. In fact, I figured you ain't even coming if you didn't come then. And you caused a lot of hell and pain in the last 6 months. Now, how do I know your back's not just against the wall and you're just broken and these tears aren't all about you? You know, I mean, I've been trusting and I've been hoping and believing. I'm kind of tired of hoping and believing. It's kind of let my heart up and down. You just got me on a yo-yo, man. I'll tell you, I don't even know where we stand. I don't even know how I feel about you anymore. I'll tell you what, I'll have a meeting with the 24 elders. I'll go back to you tomorrow and let you know where things lie. Haven't we done that to each other? Where do we even find the audacity and the right to even come with that kind of wisdom towards one another? If God thought that way for one day, we don't have his spirit inside of us. And the trouble is, guys, we've made ourselves so separate from him. And he made us one with him. And he said, as he is, so are we in this world. And we think it's humble to make ourselves so low and raise him up. We think we have to proclaim our depravity to produce humility. Humility is receiving. Wonder if you receive what he accomplished, paid for, and made you to be. That's true humility. Resisting the kingdom isn't humility. Resisting his nature isn't humility. It's flat out deception. Saying, well, that's God. Yeah, and he made you in his image, and he filled you with his spirit. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Sounds like he sees us as one. He gets up out of the dead in Matthew 28. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go in my name. Makes us one and hands us everything he paid for. Philippians 2, therefore God has exalted him above every name that shall ever be named. And every name in heaven and earth and under the earth shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You therefore work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling and complaining, so you're seen in the midst of a twisted, perverted world as shining lights holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2. I read this book. Changed my life. He says, exalted above every name that will ever be named, you therefore. Bam! Springs right into us and makes us one. And gives us the blessing of what he accomplished. He rules his kingdom, my friend, with the scepter of righteousness. You come and kneel before him and he says, I knight you with righteousness. Now rise and live right with me and go shine as a light. Yes, sir. Yeah? Righteous. Righteous. He rules his kingdom with a scepter of righteousness. Righteousness, so you understand, it's different than being right. If you're right, it makes people wrong. If you're righteous, it takes people that are wrong and gives them the ability to be right. If God came and is right, we're wrong. But he came in righteousness, so he paid a price to make the wrong stand right. That's supposed to touch you, humble you, and transform you. The goodness of God leads me to change. But if I don't understand the goodness and I live in condemnation and shame and get into works and legalism and miss the goodness of God, there's no platform for repentance. And now my knowledge puffs me up. And now I'm a preacher of the word instead of a liver of the word. Are you guys okay or is this too intense? Come on. The devil is not impressed with your ability to quote scripture. He's impressed with you not loving your own life. He's impressed when you lay down your life for others. He's impressed when the word becomes flesh. Come on. He's seen 1,000 flags and ribbons wave in thousands of worship services. He's heard Christians quote and preach and do all this stuff. He's not impressed with any of that. He's impressed when you start looking like him, because he can't do nothing with him. He is overcome by the Lord. Jesus is far above all power and principality. Let's not proclaim the Lord and intercede for our city and then live in the components of the very thing we're interceding against. Let's not rebuke and bind the devil and then live in his character and nature. There's laughter in the spirit when we do that. There's a mocking, I promise you. You start binding and rebuking, and you don't have to, just stop even shouting at the devil. And start submitting to God. And start seeing who you've become and the price that was paid. And I promise you, the submitting to God is the resisting of the devil. And he will flee. My war isn't with him, really. My war is with the lies. My war is with continuing in faith and not letting feelings deceive me. And my war is certainly not flesh and blood. Yeah? It's attacks on the mind. It's wrong thinking and wrong believing. The devil's a cut off, withering branch coming to nothing. He would love you to put him on a platform. Of course he'll perform. I ignore him completely in my life. And if he gets in the way and gets too audacious, we'll just move him aside because Jesus is greater. But there's two things I don't think about in my life, sin and the devil. And it keeps me really free. It's one of the two things that's wrong with me. How many people? Sin and the devil's priority. Well, the devil just keeps, he's a liar. If you know it's the devil talking to you, you ought to flip it and rejoice. But I'm just tired of him talking to me. Stop it. Let him clang like a cymbal and a gong clanging. Da-da, empty words. Let him inspire you to truth. Man, if the devil's coming and whispering to you, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. You don't need the voice to go away. You ought to spring out and just say, wow, I thank you that I'm worthy. God, thank you that you love me and you shed your precious blood for me and you filled me with your Holy Spirit. I accept you and welcome you and rejoice in you. And the devil's going, hey, I said you're not worthy. Well, you'll never be nothing. Your life will never amount to nothing. You ain't so special. What's your life amount to? I mean, how's your Christianity changing everything? Father, I just thank you that you've put the power of the kingdom in me and sowing seed and watering seed. And even if I don't see the harvest or the eternal fruit, God, I know that I'm playing a part in an amazing picture and the body works together and no one can say they have no need of thee. I thank you that you made me important, significant, and intricate in your plan and your purpose. And I thank you that my life is fruitful. Hey, I didn't say that. If he's a liar, you ought to flip everything he's saying and stop crying over what he's saying and stop shouting at him and stop wasting energy on him. He's a cut off, withering branch coming to nothing. And if you become a true believer in the understanding of the truth, you will recognize his voice in a heartbeat, give him no place, and it'll spring you right to God, and you will have deeper intimacy because of him. And God won't intervene because you're doing well. He'll say, let him keep blabbing because he's spurring them right to me. And God, I always had this vision from the time I was saved. It was just a grace and a sovereign thing, and now I get to teach it and impart it. It wasn't because I was a special believer. Just God marked me with this revelation. I'd get in a fix, a pickle, a trial, a thing that I wasn't sure how to handle. And you know, our first intention, God, you need to help me. God, you got to get me through this. Every time I'd get in a situation like that, I'd get this vision in my heart of God sitting on a throne. I could see this figure of majesty and glory. It didn't have a facial. It didn't have a nose mouth. It was just this figure. And I could see the arms were obvious. I could see the arms crossed. And his face was looking toward the earth. And he would say, so what are you going to do? He gave the earth to the children of men. He told me to not fear. He told me to live in the power of his name. He told me to put on my armor. He told me to wield a sword. He gave me weapons of warfare, truth in the face of lies. So it's not about God help. He would say to me every time, so what are you going to do? And I would feel this excitement in the Lord letting me work out my salvation and walk out my faith. Oh. And God wouldn't stop the trial because it was spurring me to truth. And God overcame through that in my life in so many ways. It was phenomenal. It taught me how to never grow weary, how not ever feel fear, how to not take personal circumstances in crisis. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking for the kingdom and living for the kingdom and manifesting the kingdom and walking in the light as he's in the light. You get it? And all of a sudden I realized I'm not a man with a problem. I'm a man with one amazing answer. Yeah? Come on, I'm not loaded down with a whole bunch of issues. Even if there's circumstances and situations and things that aren't going the way you hope, you got one amazing answer. You're not loaded with problems, you got an answer. Yeah. Is this making sense to your heart? Come on, he loves us so much. It's like crazy good. You know, I shared about him dying on the cross and coming and separated from God. Father, why have you forsaken me? And darkness covered. That was to pay a price for us to be forever joined. You get that, right? So I have, he's the way, that he's not a good idea. He's the way. He's not even a way. He's not an option. He's the answer. He's the way. The way what? To the Father. The truth what? About the Father. The life what? Of the Father. Yeah? He brought us back to the Father. Why? So we could be his again and start where Adam failed. Lamb of God, who what? What did he do? Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. You guys know that up here, all the way up here in Saskatchewan. I'm way up. To me, I'm somewhere way far away. And you know way up here that he is the Lamb of God who takes away what? So if he takes it away, where is it? It's away. So if it's away, now what? I guess be sons. I guess live without a sin consciousness. I guess present yourself as members unto God. I guess see yourself in covenant and union. Because if you make the tree good, guess what will happen to the fruit? Automatic good without you trying so hard. See, nobody's going to get a trophy in the end days. Nobody's going to call me out, call me a super Christian. Some people say that to me. They're like, you are such an amazing Christian. I said, I'm a believer. Oh, I felt that conviction. You know what I am? A believer. Do I have giftings in my life? Of course I do. But that the giftings have nothing to do with my relationship. The giftings are giftings. They're great. They're awesome. They have purpose. I'm talking about relationship, knowing what he accomplished. I'm a believer. I'm not a super Christian. I'm a believer. Yay. I'm not going to get a trophy someday. Dan Moeller to the front. Woo, yay. Christian Emmy or something, you know. You got the top honors in the manifestation of life for the year 2017. It's not like that. You are what you are by the grace of God. There's no boasting in men. What does a man have that he hasn't received? All glory goes to God. It's true. We ought to get that and go, wow. So let's take the grace and bring him glory. You're not looking for a reputation. You're manifesting him. You're not trying to get people to like you. He loves you. You can't be rejected by men. He's accepted you. Are you kidding me? Come on. Oh, I'm preaching right now. That's good. Have the same mind in you, Philippians 2, that was also in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. God's bringing us into the intimate motive that made Jesus tick and took him to the cross. Have the same mind in you that was in him. What was that mind? Who, even though he was equal with God, didn't consider it something to be held on to and acknowledged for and honored for, but instead laid himself down, made himself of no reputation. Be honest, we've been seeking reputation from the time we can remember. We want to be liked. We want to needed to be somebody. We've been looking for our ship to come in. We've been hoping people like us, and we've been living hard to try to make it happen. The thing that made him tick is no reputation. We've been tricked into trying to have one. And we are so driven by what people say about us and think. This social media, I'm not telling you I'm against it. I got a lot of concerns about it. It's so consuming. But here's my major concern, that you're so wrapped up in it, if you're not careful, that you take it to heart. And somebody can post something negative about you and it's like your whole life's over. And then you get in the debate world, and then you're fighting back, and it's just a dead end, nothing. Somebody just posts something, social media, negative towards you. Insecurity deluxe. What do people think? Now you're trying to defend and justify and protect, and you're checking out in secret your other friends, making sure they didn't see it or read it, and if they did, they understand, and try to save a little face. It's crazy, man. Scary if you're on something that could trash you and wreck you in a moment. It's not cool. It means you don't know who you are. I've heard this phrase 1,000 times over as a pastor. Well, they've emotionally abused me, and they've been so emotionally abused. And I understand the phrase psychologically, and I'm not being insensitive. I'm being straight and real. You can only emotionally abuse somebody. It's a real thing, but it can only happen when you don't know who you are. My wife has no ability to emotionally abuse me because I didn't wake up for her to love me. I wake up to love. That makes things pretty free. Now, if I'm needy and I wake up and I need her to be a certain thing for my day to cruise, well, then she'd probably have a stronger voice in who I am and how I am. I talked about this last night and the room got funny. I told Justin about it. I said, the room got really funny when I talked about wives and husbands owing each other and waking up and not needing each other, but loving each other. Bring harmony into your home, into your own heart. It takes one to make peace. It takes two to tango. You're not going to make me tango, and I'm not talking about the dance. Because you won't get me to do that either. I don't have a clue. But it takes two to tango. It takes one to make peace. It took one to come and make peace. Everybody was wrong, and one was right. And he made peace. And he didn't let what men did see or didn't see change who he was. He didn't let what men agreed with or disagreed with change who he was. There wasn't enough sin against him that could produce sin in him. He overcame evil with good. That's why I love him so much. Because he didn't just save me from my sin. He taught me how to live. And that's a higher honor. Singing to Jesus that he's your Savior, that's great. But letting him teach you how to live is a higher honor. And I promise you, that's what brings pleasure to his heart more than anything. Is reproducing after his own kind. Because love will change the world. And love will surely change you. It's just awesome. And I got to quit because we got to go to lunch. And lunch is the only time I eat during the weekend. So I'm going to go to lunch. I'm going to ask you guys. You saw how I make myself available. I'm back here talking to a whole bunch of people. And I make myself available. But on this session, if you will, let me slip out because we don't have much time till 2. And I want to grab some lunch and come back because I haven't eaten since lunch yesterday. So I'm just ready to eat. Because I'm not on official fast, but I kind of live fasted when I travel. So if you'll just understand that and honor that and let me slip out and I can go grab some lunch and I'll come back. And maybe you'll come back. but if you can. But here's the last thing I wanted to show you. Oh, I'm in so much trouble. Yeah. Remember I said that Jesus brought us to the place where Adam failed? He wants to start us back to where Adam failed and pick us up. Right before he failed. Go to John 20 with me real quick. I want you to see this. I want you to see how powerful this is. He's the Lamb of God who what? Took it away. 1 Peter 2 says he bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree that we having died to sin. That's a sin mentality, a sin belief, presenting yourself as sinners, just believing your ability to sin makes you a sinner. Stop. No, die to sin already. We die to sin so we can live unto him. We die to sin and live unto righteousness. It's several places in your Bible. Amen? One of the biggest mistakes we make is we think our ability to sin makes us sinners, so we feel like we have to talk about our ability to fail as if that's humility. No, that's a wrong tree. I don't wake up expecting to fail. I wake up to be like him. I'm not waking up to sin and miss it and call on the blood. I'm waking up to be like him. That's different. If I believe I'm a son, guess what I start living like? If I believe I'm righteous, guess what happens to my life? It starts being lived holy without me trying to be holy. It's scriptural. Righteousness produces its fruit to holiness. When I believe I'm right in the sight of God, my conduct changes. Grace empowers me to live what I can never live on my own. And all of a sudden, he gets all the glory. You know what I get concerned about? That we get tricked following men instead of following Jesus. We get tricked following our own human experiences and thinking anything else is denial, and then we forfeit grace in the supernatural. Wonder if he can change me. Did you see your husband change? He changed, didn't he? You told me that in the back. You said when he first started listening to you and hearing some of these things, she said, I was afraid. And I was like, what are you getting into? I said, isn't it amazing how our first reaction is fear? That's a sign of the fall of man, not wisdom. I'm not talking about jumping on every boat that floats by, but why is fear our first reaction? Because we're very self-centered, self-protecting, self-guarded. Fear is not the kingdom of God. He didn't give you a spirit of fear. Isn't it amazing that this precious wife who's sincere and loves God, the best she understands God, as soon as her husband starts pursuing something, the first thing she is fear. And then she saw the change it brought in his life and said, wow, this is real. Wow, this is pleasant. Wow, there's joy in him. Wow, he's different. And this is good. Wow, my husband. And then she started to listen because the life, the proof was in the pudding. It wasn't in his speech. It was in his life. It wasn't him saying, well, honey, you need to knock it off and just pray with me. You need to stop being so afraid. You just believe. And now he's preaching now. Well, you just need to know Jesus came to restore our creative value. And all of a sudden, you just have a language instead of an expression. Listen, I could learn the language of Spanish or French, but I'll never be Spanish or French. You can learn the Christian language and it doesn't make you like Christ. In fact, the truth is, if you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice, and if it was apple, it would be weird. So why isn't it weird if you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? I wonder if the devil's learned, I'll just squeeze them and reveal what they don't understand. I'll get them squirming and crying and say spiritual things and pray and feel like they're on track and their productivity will prove they're way off. Oh, that's straight up. Come on. You guys all right? I'm going to close because I'll get way too late. I want to let you guys get to lunch. I was going to do this. I guess I'll maybe do it later. And if I don't, oh well. But man, it's good. It's really good. But I feel like I need to quit in my heart. That's rare, but I feel like I need to quit. That's really rare. Yeah. I don't wind down or wrap up. I just stop. I know how to take off. I know how to fly. I've never heard the control tower say, bring it in, Dan. I have no idea how to land a plane. The gospel plane has never landed with me. I just stop. That's all I know how to do. I don't know how to land. People say, you need to learn how to wrap up and bring it to a... I'm too busy flying and I'm just glad we're up there. This is awesome. Land, I'm not going back to Earth. I'm flying. So we'll just stop and hopefully we'll pick up in flight. Yeah. I have an idea we'll hit what I was going to do in John 20 in the next session. Because it feels really important. But releasing you is important right now. Let me pray something over you guys. This was just a teaching time. We're not doing a bunch of ministry right now. There's a couple things we're going to pray for today. I actually know that in my heart. Where it'll fit in and how it'll look, I'm not sure. But there's a couple things we're going to pray for. It's going to be fun. I'm glad about it. I'm excited. I live in Jesus. I travel all the time. I know what God does. And I know how he does and touches lives and changes people. It's humbling and it's amazing. Just keep your hearts encouraged and don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't ever get tricked letting life speak louder than truth. It's truth that makes you free. Don't be a product of what you're going through. Start to look at what he went through and decide what that means to you and what that makes you and start living from that place. Start where he finished. You'll run well. Wake up every day holy, blameless, and above reproach. Present yourself that way to God. That grace will cover you. Your performance will change. Your life will change. Your attitudes will change. And you won't bite your lip trying to change. I promise you. You just give up your right to be angry and your right to live for yourself in prayer and be sincere and watch how grace starts changing you. And a thing that used to tick you off doesn't even move you anymore. In fact, you're starting to feel compassion and you could cry for the person instead of cry because of the person. Yeah? It's important, guys. You guys with me? I'm going to pray over you and we'll go get some lunch. You can make a friend or do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to get some lunch. Father, I just thank you for this room. I thank you for hunger. Oh my goodness, guys, it's so awesome. I'm kind of praying, but I'm talking to you right now at the same time. You're here from all over Canada. I mean, really, I'm looking at license plates going, what is going on? I'm so impressed with this. Guys, there is a hunger in your nation, if you will. There's a hunger in your providences. God has people tucked everywhere that has a desire for him. And it just blesses me that you gathered here on a Saturday morning, because I talk straight and I bring it. And my heart is to adjust us into truth so we live more productive and shine. And you guys are sitting there going, yeah. So God, I ask you that you continue to burn in our hearts. Continue to take this hunger and turn it into the manifestation of your son. And Lord, I pray for redemption in homes and marriages and families. And I pray, Lord God, that love would be prevalent in our lives, and that we realize that one is a majority in Christ. And it takes one to make peace. It takes two to tango. God, help our eyes to see according to truth, and help our lives to be lived in you like never before. Man, if you're married, I do this all the time, and it's amazing how God does this. But if you're married and you're sitting here and it hasn't been the best at home, and in your heart you're convicted and you're thinking, man, I haven't been pursuing love. I've been just pointing out what's wrong and what I'm not happy with and I've been grumbling, I've been complaining. Don't get condemned. Don't get, oh boy, he's talking to me. I got a long way to go. No. You got somewhere to go. You got an answer. But I'm telling you what would be cool. If your husband and wife is together, their husband and wife is together, your husband or your wife is with you, and there's been animosity and you're aware of it, and you realize, I have been feeding into this thing. It ain't about whose fault it is. I haven't been pursuing to be like Jesus. I would love if you'd be humble enough to slip your hand over and tap your spouse and squeeze their hand. And if you'll squeeze their hand, please, spouse, don't pull your hand away. Let them squeeze your hand and don't harden your heart. Because when they squeeze your hand, what they're saying is this: man, I'm listening to this man. And I'm not listening for me, you, I'm listening for me. And I'm done blaming you. I'm done making excuses. I haven't been pursuing love. I've been complaining, and I haven't been like Jesus. And it's not about who's right and wrong. It's about me being righteous. So forgive me. And I'm just letting you know, I'm listening to this man, and I'm going to pursue these things. And I'll tell you what would be amazing right now. Yeah, that's good. About 5 couples, 6 couples could really do this right now. Take his hand or her hand back and squeeze it back. And when you do it, what you're saying is, you know, honey, I appreciate your humility. Thanks for squeezing my hand, because I'm listening too. And I'm feeling the same way. That puts us on the same page. And I think we can start from scratch and put yesterday behind us. We don't need counsel. None of that matters anymore. We have an answer. And I'm going to become it. And thanks for forgiving me. And thanks for understanding. I love you too. And if you'll hold hands right now and squeeze each other's hands, that's the statement you're making without a word. No words or emotions can even get in the way. You're making a statement by faith, squeezing their hand. And Father, I thank you for those couples that hands are joined right now. A supernatural transformation. An ability to let yesterday go. No need to make up for nothing. Just a drive and a desire to become something. And God, I thank you for bringing wholeness and health into marriages. And I thank you for restoring homes. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, guys, I am actually done. I went 12 minutes past what I wanted. They were going to let me go to 12:30. But I said, I'm cutting earlier than that. I didn't know if I could do it. He didn't believe I could. Come on, man. Confess your doubt and unbelief openly and publicly. I'm just messing with you, Matt. I love you guys. If you can go back at 2, 7, whatever, we'll be here. We love you. Bless you.